Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Tuesday. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour backyard blast-off. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everyone doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. We'll do a lot of college football this morning because we've got SEC and Big 12 media days. The coaches are talking. As they like to say, it's talking season. And so we'll have Mac Engel, our friend from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, also Dallas and 105.3 The Fan there. We'll talk to Mac about Big 12 media days coming up here in approximately 35 minutes from now. Texas, Oklahoma, and the ballad of Jalen Hurts. Does he really have to win the job with the Sooners? Also later on in the show, SEC Media Days. Matt Stinchcomb's going to join us. College football analyst, ESPN. He'll join us from SEC Media Days coming up here in approximately 2.5 hours from now. Really less than that. More like 2 hours and 15 minutes from now. We'll talk about lobby lizards and everything swirling around the SEC. Does the rest of the conference feel as though Alabama can be had finally after what Clemson did to them in the national championship game? Also this morning is a Trash Tuesday, everybody. So bring us your trashes. Who or what are you trashing? We'll read through those throughout the morning. Hit me up on Twitter with your trashes. DA on CBS. That's DA on CBS. Also, you can call us up and hop on the phone with your trashes at 855-212-4227. Also this morning, one of Russell Wilson's wide receivers takes a shot at him while glossing Matthew Stafford. Bob Myers appears to be lying about D'Angelo Russell. Marcus Mariota v. Jameis Winston in the last years of their rookie deals. Who would you bet on? And a former member of the DA show has a heroic return to beach football. All of that is coming up this morning on the DA show. But I'd like to begin with Ben Simmons. Because the Philadelphia 76ers just lavished Simmons with a 5-year, $170 million deal. So that is more than $30 million a season for Ben Simmons over the next five. I want it noted, Ben Simmons, you want to guess how many NBA three-pointers he's connected on? I'll give you a second here, okay? Think about this. How many three-pointers do you think that Ben Simmons has hit in his NBA career?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4... 3, 2, 1.
Ben Simmons was the first pick overall in the 2016 draft. We have now hit the 2019 draft. And over the course of his career, he has hit 0 three-pointers. Zero, zilch, zero, nada. Kind of tells you about his outside shooting, right? Ben Simmons has never hit an NBA three-pointer. Now, of course, his value comes from many other things. He's incredibly long, incredibly strong at the point guard position, can play very, very suffocating defense. He's a guy that obviously is more of a distributor than a shooter and can score around the basket. And what the Sixers are betting on here is that now that they've signed and locked in Ben Simmons, you have four guys at your nucleus, at your core, under contract for a minimum of the next 4 years. Simmons, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, Tobias Harris. And it's not like Simmons is not decorated. Simmons was the NBA Rookie of the Year. The Sixers obviously went to the second round of the playoffs this year and then lost in that incredible game number 7 and the quadruple bounce shot by Kawhi Leonard. The Sixers have spent money to build themselves a contender, and Philadelphia believes that it is, if not the best team of the Eastern Conference, one or two, maybe behind the Milwaukee Bucks. Personally, I would put them behind the Bucks, but I would put them at number two in the Eastern Conference. So certainly in this year's NBA, a chance to win a championship. Here's what I admire about the Philadelphia 76ers. They took 4 years and lost as many games as they could. And they put their fans through living hell every year, knowing we're not trying to win, we are trying to lose, to collect assets and to draft the stars that we need to win. And so their fans were the subject of a cruel joke. Every year, for those 4 or 5 seasons, Sixers fans watched, paying regular season prices, regular NBA prices, to watch a team wanting to lose. And so now finally the Sixers are going all in. Let's spend money. Let's not cut corners. We've got deep pockets, and I love that. The Sixers are acting like a big market team, and they're spending the cash. I like it. But this is a risk. This is a risk. Because the exercise that you should do right now, if you're trying to assess whether this was the right idea or the wrong idea, is let's do best case scenario and let's do worst case scenario for the Philadelphia 76ers. It is where we begin, your cold open.
He's made big improvements on his game. His jump shot looking really good. He has the confidence to shoot it. And I just kept telling him there, like, you know, even in these workouts where you're playing, have the confidence to shoot them and don't get discouraged if you miss. This is where you build that type of confidence.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, so that is Tobias Harris on Ben Simmons. Let's do best case scenario. Philadelphia 76ers best case scenario is that Ben Simmons, now newly minted with this monster contract, develops his next version of himself to where he is comfortable shooting from the outside. He can knock down a three so that he's a threat from out there, so you've got to guard him out there. He continues to finish at the basket. He develops continuously into a great defender. Ben Simmons grows up a little bit. He becomes a leader, a floor general. He's only 23 years old, continues to grow. And you go, that's a steal. You want that guy as part of your team. Tobias Harris, you spent this money on, who got $180 million. Tobias is a tremendous scorer, secondary scorer, picks up the slack when Joel Embiid can't. Tobias Harris fits in well, easily coachable, good demeanor, supportive of other guys. Tobias works out and is worth the money. Joel Embiid stays healthy, and Embiid has the potential already as an all-star to be the most dominant big man of the league outside of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and perhaps the most dominant traditional center, and a guy that on some nights goes for 40 and 20. You simply can't defend him. He's charismatic. He's popular. He's confident. And he fits in perfectly with a young team that has designs on winning NBA championships. And Al Horford comes in on his 4-year, $109 million deal. And Horford provides your maturity and your polish and your work ethic and sacrificing for the team. And Horford's the perfect locker room guy. And this team comes together and they are a machine. The Milwaukee Bucks proved that last year was a one-year wonder, that Giannis now has too much of the focus of other teams on him. They feel the pressure. They lose Malcolm Brogdon to the offseason. The Bucks come back to the pack. The Celtics are never really that good. The Toronto Raptors are no longer the Raptors without Kawhi Leonard. And the Eastern Conference falls right into the lap of the dominant Philadelphia 76ers. They go to the NBA Finals, and the 76ers bring home their first championship since 1983, and for the next 4 or 5 years are the wagon in the Eastern Conference. That's best case scenario. And if that's what happens, no matter what you spent on Embiid and Horford and Tobias and Simmons, it's worth it. No matter what, it's worth it. That's best case scenario. But let's go over worst case, okay? Okay? Let's go over worst case. Worst case is Ben Simmons is Chuck Knoblauch of shooting. He is Rick Ankiel of the outside shot and mentally can never get over the hump. And so he's always limited in just how effective he can be. He's also a guy that, remember, in his 1 year in college, did not even get to the NCAA tournament. So he's not a winner. That last year in the playoffs, Simmons, many very quiet stretches, that Simmons ends up being kind of a one-trick pony. He's not really a winner. He's mentally not a leader. And you start going, boy, this guy is not worth a max deal. That Al Horford, at his age, has 1 or 2 years of good basketball left in him. But by the end of that contract, when he's 36 and 37 years old, it is an albatross that you cannot move. And Al Horford is a shell of his former self as a big man that just doesn't have anything left. Joel Embiid's foot continues to break. And Joel Embiid continues to have just random flus. And Joel Embiid never stays healthy. And Embiid is a guy that you just look at as unbelievably untapped potential but cannot stay on the floor and does not know how to be a leader because mentally he's just all over the place, maybe trying to be a celebrity, trying to be popular in his own head, highly easily frustrated, and that Tobias Harris is soft. That Tobias you gave all this money to, but he goes into hibernation in the playoffs. And Tobias, when things get a little rough, is not a guy that can take the ball and make things happen as a leader, as a watch me, I'll do it. And Brett Brown turns into a bozo head coach with people in Philadelphia might already say he's easily coached around. They lose J.J. Redick in free agency. And suddenly this Sixers team is a little bit like last year's Celtics team. It never comes together. There's a lot of pressure on them. They don't live up to it. And this is a team that just looks like a complete and utter waste of money. That's the worst case scenario. And under worst case scenario, this Ben Simmons deal is going to look absolutely awful. But ultimately, I will tell you this. I'm fine with it. I'm fine because under best case scenario, Ben Simmons is more than what we've seen. And the Sixers are spending money. And the Sixers are aiming for a championship in a league that is open for a championship. And I am here to applaud going for it because far too often owners would rather be frugal and conservative and not spend the money and sit on the sidelines. So I will applaud going for it. But I'll tell you this. If you don't think there is massive risk in this contract, along with all the other spending that the Sixers have done, you're crazy. Because there is. There is the potential that this thing completely implodes and goes sideways. But for the moment, with Butler leaving and your core group of guys right now locked in for 4 years, what you have to say is Simmons is going to have to be part of the solution, not the problem. So we've got to sign him to the 4 years as well. And these 4 years now, there's massive pressure on us to have to win within this window. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Trash Tuesday. Looking forward to your trashes. We'll do our trashes coming up here next hour. Coming up here next, your best audio of the day. Remember when Mraz said he wanted to lose 100 pounds by his daughter's first birthday? Now, his daughter is due sometime this winter around the holidays?
December 27th is the due date.
Okay. So I'm sure that'll fall on a Giants Sunday, perhaps a playoff game that you can't believe you're missing. Not a Giants playoff game, of course, but maybe the early Saturday game on ESPN.
And Daniel's on her own.
But you wanted to lose 100 pounds by a year from then, so approximately 18 months from now. Phil Mickelson might be writing Mraz's game plan on losing the hundy, although now it's going to have to be 103 because he's up three since the block party. So we'll talk about that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
How you doing, brother DA? I love listening to your show every morning, man. You know, you're the man of truth.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
Full episodes of The Da available in podcast form. You can go to radio.com, Apple Music, iTunes, and other places that podcasts are available to listen to anything you may have missed or want to hear again. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Cody Bellinger. The Dodgers superstar, 4-for-6, 4 runs scored in the Dodgers 16-2 rout over the Phillies last night. He hit 2 home runs, drives in 2. He's hitting .341, 33 home runs, 75 RBIs. Could be a triple crown guy this year. The Dodgers are 15 games up of the National League West over the second place Diamondbacks. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. Ben Simmons just got a 5-year extension. Big old money. Nice big fat deal. $170 million.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
But not everything is cool in Ben Simmons' land. His much publicized relationship with Kendall Jenner is over. They had dated for a little over a year. And this is in the news because just last week, Ben Simmons' sister takes a shot at Kendall Jenner. How about this tweet? Quote, "I just wouldn't ever want to be known for dating athletes. Like, imagine working your way through a league. Not a team, a league."
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Whoa, 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 whoa there, sister.
She's a bad girl, David.
I'm reminded of Little Mo. Whoa, 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 Mraz, whoa. Imagine working your way through a league, not a team, a league. Now, those are fighting words. And if I know the Kardashian-Jenner clan, I know that they will be highly dysfunctional, looking for the attention any way, shape, and form, posting pictures of themselves in scantily clad bikinis with nail polish and weird costumes on their kids.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure there's a retort coming. Ben Simmons' sister also tweeted, "Oh bleep you guys, I live under a tree. Hashtag shady life. I'd rather be crazy than be a garden tool. Hashtag facts." And I inserted garden tool because I will not stoop to that type of verbiage. I'd rather be crazy than a garden tool. Mraz, you know what I'm talking about here.
Now I did. At first I was like, that's a weird one. I don't get it. But now that you explain, I got it.
However, Ben Simmons' sister has actually gone after Ben Simmons. So they don't have a great relationship, even though it seems like she might be defending him right now because Kendall broke up with him, I suppose. She also tweeted, "My brother's initials are BS, Ben Simmons. And when I think of BS, I think of him. Your sister struggled and opened up on nationwide television, and you can't call her after it happens. I called you. You didn't get a call back to me. So just really big news in the Simmons household, okay? People aren't calling back, leaving voicemails, no texting, emojis. Really big stuff. Can we get to the sound check now?
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Jalen Hurts has played in two national championship games for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He was the hero of the SEC championship game in the comeback win over Georgia. And now he's at Oklahoma. But Lincoln Riley says at Big 12 Media Days, it's not necessarily his job.
I think in a team game, competition is one of the most important things there is. And the second you just go anoint somebody, that's gone. And so regardless, I mean, I don't care if Joe Namath himself walks into our room right now. He's got to win the job. And, I mean, that's just it's not about what the outside world thinks. It's about what does – you know, what do you have in that room? And the best man wins, and you give everybody a shot at it, and then you find the best guy, and off you go. So, you know, I know what people think on the outside, but, I mean, it's – I think the guys in our walls, they see a little different story than maybe what's portrayed in the media.
Hey, look, you got to make Joe Namath compete for that job. What, he's like 75 years old at this point in time. So you can't just give Joe Namath at 75 the job. I mean, come on, Lincoln Riley. Who's believing that? Jalen Hurts is the starter. There's no doubt. Now, this is just a little carrot out there. I think he doesn't want to anoint a new guy in that locker room, the starter, before he's even done a lot of practicing yet. So I think this is all about leadership and making him work for it and not giving anybody anything. But there's absolutely no way on God's green earth Jalen Hurts is not the starter for the Oklahoma Sooners this season. None. Absolutely none. None. He will start all 12 or 13 games barring injury. Phil Mickelson on his Instagram page says that he's trying to cut down on his weight. You know, he hasn't been golfing very well recently. Really hasn't been golfing well for a number of months. And so he is now trying to be healthier. He shed some pounds. He said he lost 15 pounds in 10 days going on a cleanse.
Hey, everyone, let's get real for a few minutes. I haven't posted anything because I haven't felt good about myself and the way I've been playing. And so I haven't done anything or wanted to be in public. The last 10 days, I've done what I call a hard reset to change and try to make things better. I have lost 15 pounds.
Wow.
I've done a 6-day fast with water and a special coffee blend for wellness that I've been working on with Dave Phillips, and went on a bit of a retreat. I'm here in Ireland now, a beautiful place, getting ready for the British Open. I don't know if it's going to help me play better or not, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to get my best back. I'll have more fireside chats and some funny things in the future, but for now, let's keep it real.
When you say I'll have more funny things, that's suggesting that this was funny, and it definitely wasn't. You'll have funny things, because this was not funny.
He also magical.
He also spelled fireside with PH for Phil.
Sure, yeah. Fireside chat series.
That's funny.
Okay, so number one, a coffee blend helped him lose 15 pounds?
Again, I'm not a coffee drinker. Maybe I need to get on that. And what's the blend with? Ex-lax?
I'm all about a cleanse. I think cleanses are great. I think they're healthy. And I'm loving Phil Mickelson trying to get back in shape. And I will say, I think Phil looks a little bit better. And I'll tell you how I can tell. He's lost some cup sizes on the moves. That is the most telling sign of his body losing some weight. I would say he went from healthy B's to A's.
And that's the hardest weight to lose in a man is the moob weight. That's always the last of mine to go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that scientifically proven?
I always droop.
Mraz, you want to lose 100 pounds, now 103 since you're up 3 from the block party. You're losing 103 by December 2020. D, do you think that maybe you will try the Phil Mickelson coffee blend cleanse?
I'm going to say no, because I think it's impossible to sustain for 18 months, and that's a diet where you eat again, you're going to gain it all back. It's not a healthy diet.
This is a crash diet.
Right. I need a diet where I can eat. You know what I mean?
How does that diet work?
Well, I mean, I got to eat something, but maybe just smaller portions and stuff. You can't have a diet where 6 days, I'll lose my mind. Suddenly, I got one mustard stain underneath my moob, and it's a big tragedy.
How did Block Party weekend go in terms of your losing 100 pounds?
It was a massacre. The only exercise I got was huffing and puffing, playing one-on-one basketball. And other than that, yeah, I was eating barbecue sauce and hero bread and drinking beers nonstop, losing count. It wasn't good. Does Can Jam count as a gym routine?
You actually did. You actually did a little bit more cardio than you're giving yourself credit for. We moved the ice luge table.
That's right. That was like lifting weights. You're absolutely right. That was before it melted. That's true. You know what? Maybe I did work out a little more. I got back on the scale tomorrow. The slobs are allowed to be in now.
Finally, Ed Ogeron, LSU head coach at SEC Media Days. Who cares what he's talking about? I just want to hear Ed Ogeron.
We need to do a better job at two-minute offense and a better job of preventing the deep ball. We didn't do a good enough job, and sometimes of letting them throw the ball over our head. So those are all things that we need to improve. But, you know, you need to go back to tackling. You need to go back to turnovers. You need to go back to discipline and effort. That's what it's going to take to be a great defense.
A great defense going to be like a bunch of gators in the bayou. I'm going to be wrestling each other, snapping at one another. Sharp teeth, 17 rows of teeth.
You need to go back to tackling. You need to go back to turnovers. You need to go back to discipline and effort. That's what it's going to take to be a great defense.
That quarterback's going to be looking like a little rabbit on a stick for crocodiles down in the bayou.
And sometimes of letting them throw the ball over our head. So
I wish today we had Rob Schneider on. We were originally scheduled to have Rob Schneider on because I would like to talk Waterboy with him and Ed Ogeron. Oh no, he's talk again! But Rob Schneider had to reschedule until later on this week. But when we have Rob on, can we cue up the best of Ed Ogeron and just have him talk about it since he has some experience on the set of Waterboy?
And a better job of preventing the deep ball. We didn't do a good enough job, and sometimes of letting them throw the ball over our head.
We didn't do a good enough job of peeling, eating them shrimp. That platter came at us. We kept some of the shells on. I ate some tails. Got caught in our lungs.
That's what it's going to take to be a great defense.
Started choking on them shrimp. Had to decide whether we're going to eat the tails or not. And I just ate the tails. And it was tough on the way out. But that's how you make yourself a good football coach. Eat the tails and them shrimp.
And that is your sound check. Marco Belletti, you have had some bouts with dieting. What do you think about Phil Mickelson's 15-pound cleanse in 10 days?
Congratulations. You're going to put on 20 in about 2 weeks. That's how it works.
Coffee?
Bing it a bang it a boom. Yeah, I don't know about this coffee thing because I'm addicted to coffee.
Coffee blend. Just have a coffee blend.
Yeah, no. There's no way. No.
It's a coffee blend.
And I've done the Meraz. I actually dropped 100 pounds in about 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It comes back.
Wow.
Now, I was able to keep it off for a long time, and then I got older, and then it was a disaster.
How did you lose 100 pounds in 6 months?
Not the way you're supposed to. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of eating. There was...
Was it drugs?
No. No, I'm not a drug guy, D.A. I know I look it.
I didn't think you were, but how can you possibly lose 100 pounds? You just starved yourself?
To a point, there was a lot of just, you know, can of tuna a day.
One can of tuna in an entire day?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Were you always ravenous and hungry?
No. You don't really get hungry anymore after a while.
Wow.
Which is bad. Because then you wind up, like, oh man, did I eat today? And I'm not good anyway, because I usually only eat roughly once, maybe twice a day. I know it doesn't look it. I eat way too much in that one portion. That's not debatable, but I don't do it properly, and I kind of messed up my system from that.
How did you feel when all you were doing was eating one can of tuna? Were you like a space cadet?
No. I mean, I was in college. It was my freshman year of college. I lived at home, and I was working like 40 hours a week.
Ah.
So I was just constantly moving, and I was working, and I was 18, too. So it was easier to, you know, get around, and it was gone in a heartbeat.
Whoa.
I went from like roughly, it was a little more than 100, it was about 270-ish, roughly, to I bottomed out at like 155.
Oh my god!
And at that point, then I basically ate a sandwich because everybody was like, "You look like you have jaundice. Like something's wrong with you."
Yeah.
I had a sandwich. I was up to 185, and I stayed there for a long time, like probably 10 years.
Whoa! The things you learn. When we come back here on the show, Mac Engel's going to join us from Big 12 Media Days on that Jalen Hurts story and much, much more from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Good morning, sir. I'm officially a D-alien. I heard you say that the other day, and I found your show about a year ago, and I'm just in love. You guys are awesome.
It's D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
45 minutes past the hour. D-A with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and we thank you for being with us every single morning. 9 until noon Eastern time, 6 until 9 Pacific.
Oh, valid point.
You can watch the show at watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere. Watchda.com on your phone, your mobile device, your tablet, your PC, your laptop, your smart TV, or anywhere else that you can get. A little watchda.com. Joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, our Big 12 insider, Mac Engel from Big 12 Media Days, as it's talking season. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start at the top of this conference. How much separation is there between Oklahoma and Texas?
I think it depends on the quarterback. You know, I think in the last couple of years, Lincoln Riley's first 2 years, you look at the separation based on Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, two special guys who went on to be, you know, the number one pick in the draft. Well, those guys are gone, and now Oklahoma is left to pick up the pieces with a guy who's won a national championship before at Alabama. And Jalen Hurts. Now, they haven't given Jalen Hurts the job yet. He didn't go to media days. Lincoln Riley talked about that yesterday, that, you know, he's in a competition. He didn't feel necessarily comfortable with having him down here because that essentially implied that he was the starter. He's going to be the starter. He just hasn't done it yet. And right now, the best quarterback at the very top is Sam Ellinger, the junior at UT. So I think there's the difference. Now, the fascinating thing will be to watch is, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the wild card is Iowa State because of Brock Purdy. I can't, I mean, honestly, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said. I've said a lot of dumb stuff. But we look back, I mean, look at Iowa State, what they've done under Matt Campbell. They're doing things that we haven't seen since the 70s. And they lost a serious player in Akeem Butler, the wide receiver who was so good last year. But they return a ton of guys on defense. A really good quarterback in Purdy who might be better than Sam Ellinger. The problem is Ellinger has more toys to throw to than Brock Purdy does. But I still think it's kind of the same thing in terms of it's Texas, it's Oklahoma. And then the question is, who amongst the other teams, Iowa State, TCU, maybe Texas, you know, Oklahoma State, who can screw it up? Who is the candidate to screw it up for those two teams and slide into the Big 12 championship game? Anything right now, a clear favorite amongst that second tier is Iowa State.
We don't really believe, though, that Jalen Hurts won't be the starting quarterback, right?
No, I can't see a scenario where he's not. I think the more plausible scenario is that he's just not as good as what Lincoln Riley needs. I mean, think about it. I know everybody's talking about Lincoln Riley as this genius, but Lincoln Riley's first two quarterbacks were the number one picks in the draft. I think most coaches can look pretty damn smart when you've got that guy doing whatever he wants. And it wasn't like, we're not talking about these are just good quarterbacks. These were phenomenal quarterbacks, guys who could make plays with their feet and throw the ball with an accuracy level that was NFL worthy, right? So he's gone. Now, anybody watched Jalen Hurts play said, yeah, he's pretty good. But Jalen Hurts was a guy who needed teammates. He needed them. Now, he made them better, but they really made him better. Well, Oklahoma hasn't been in that position, right? They've had a guy so special that he made everybody look good and really carried a defense that was substandard at best. Oklahoma's been the only team to make it to the college football playoff games out of the Big 12. They haven't won a game yet. That is a massive indictment on Lincoln Riley because of the quarterbacks that he had. The defenses were so bad that they couldn't win one of those games with Kyler or Baker as the quarterback. That's an indictment. And there's nothing that says to me that defense is going to be that much better. They might be a little bit better because only because they've been so bad. They hired they hired Washington State's defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch. He done well with Mike Leach. But, I mean, what we've seen at the very, very top, at some point you got to stop some guys. And Oklahoma and nobody really in the Big 12 has done that at the highest level. They've done it occasionally. Like TCU does it occasionally, but not the biggest. And if we're talking about Oklahoma and Texas, we're talking about teams that at some point have got to be able to stop people and not have them just score in the 30s. Well, Oklahoma's not going to do that just yet until they prove otherwise.
Mac Engel joins us. I was interested in your piece in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about Gary Patterson, and speaking of TCU, everybody just looks at him as the institution at TCU, but is there the possibility that he's not a lifer at TCU? How much longer do you think he's going to be there?
I think it depends on who you believe. You know, I think coaches now in this era don't expect to be at a place as long. One, because guys get pushed out. Two, because they've made so much money, they don't need to do it. You know, they can go into the booth. They can be an analyst. They can retire for a little while. Bob Stoops is a great example. Bob retired with clearly plenty left in the tank. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He's tired of it. Well, now he's bored, and that's why he took the XFL job. The thought with Gary Patterson is the TCU people are hoping is that he'll be there for another 10 years. And he probably could be. Like, if you look at Nick Saban, Nick doesn't need the money, but he's doing it because he still likes doing it. And he probably doesn't know what else to do. There's probably some element. I mean, there's some element of fear of, if I retire, what am I going to do? And I understand that. But Gary is at 59. He's very much fantasizing about, you know, life without all that responsibility of being a coach at a place like this where so much is dependent on him, and he's very aware of that. But I think what I could see happening is that he does step away in 5 or 6 years, and then he's bored to death. But I think the one thing about him is that he has made it very clear that even though he was a graduate assistant under Bill Snyder, he does not want to be Bill Snyder. He does not want to coach until he's in his 70s. I think there are more coaches like a guy like Gary Pinkel who left Missouri mostly because of health problems, but there was also the desire to step away and to live maybe a little bit more sane life. But it's a transition, and I think certain people at TCU were like, oh, please don't go, please don't go, please don't go, because he made that. I mean, there is a genuine fear that when he goes, nobody's going to replace that. He probably won't. But with Gary, I think he's very much eyeing the day that he can step away and you know, breathe a little bit. It's not today. It's not next year. But that day is coming.
Got about a minute left here, so I'm going to ask you the same question about Mike Gundy, who spoke yesterday. He's always felt like a bit of a restless soul in Stillwater. How much longer is he there?
As long as he wants. I think that's a, you know, you look at certain coaches and you say, I don't know if he would play well elsewhere. You know, like Gary Patterson embodies that. I don't know if Gary would work. I'm sure he would, but he would work as well as where he fits at TCU. Mike Gundy's that kind of guy for me. He's a guy who understands Oklahoma State, who understands Oklahoma better than anybody. I mean, he went there. There's a great relationship with their most prominent booster in T. Boone Pickens. He's done things at that school that have never really been done before consistently. You know, like they had glimpses with Barry Sanders and Hartley Dykes and those guys, and when Mike was a quarterback, but never to sustain it this long. And I think he understands that. I think coaches now understand if they can be in a place, be competitive, win 9, 10, maybe even 11 games every now and then, they can have a job forever. Coach football, be popular in their town, be famous, make a ton of money, and have a really good quality of life. I don't know if Mike Gundy gets a job elsewhere. I think he flirts. I think all these guys like to flirt, but I don't think he's going anywhere. Restless soul is probably the right way to put it. But I think ultimately what happens with a lot of these guys now is they recognize, you know, I got it pretty good here. It looks awfully green over there, but it's pretty green right now. And, yeah, if they give me $100,000 more, if I can give some money to my assistants or whatever else, that's pretty good too. So I think Mike Gundy is a lot like Gary. I think Mike will probably just finish it out at Oklahoma State inevitably.
Mac Engel is all over the Big 12 Media Day, so follow him on Twitter, at Mac Engel Prof, and you can check him out there. Read all the stuff on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, really good stuff on the Big 12. And Media Days is the start of college football season. It is here, which is a thrill, which is awesome, and there's never a shortage of talking points. Mac, it's always awesome to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much. Keep up the good work.
Okay, anytime. Thanks so much.
You got it. Mac Engel joining us this morning on the DA Show. Excellent, excellent stuff. I want to talk about some of that coming up here at the top of the hour. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. You know, he's right about that Oklahoma defense. They have had back-to-back number one overall picks at quarterback. Back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. And they can't win a game in the college football playoff because Lincoln Riley can't coach defense. Because the Sooners in the Big 12 don't know how to coach defense, don't know how to build defense, don't know how to do anything on the defensive side of the football. And so how good is Jalen Hurts going to have to be for Oklahoma to win at the level that he's expected to? We'll also talk about a shot at Russell Wilson next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.